have spots for those who come in.
Yeah, and then put them back there.
And the coffee though, I'm good.
Oh, we turn it upside down. But now, the type is upside down. No, look at this one.
What?
This one's upside down.
Not upside down, just a different direction.
It's a different perspective.
Different perspective. All right, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. So we left off with the Mishnah. Today's daf is Lamed Hey. We left off at the Mishnah on Lamed Dalet on the base. So says the Gemara. Says the Mishnah. So they would bring him to the parva chamber, and the parva chamber was in the kodesh. So both again, now that we have, one of those pictures. Thank you. So now that you have these pictures, and again, thank you to Menachem for arranging these pictures. So again, if you take a look at, if you hold up the page like this, so that you have the Beis Hamikdash Hashini on the right-hand top side. And again, I just want to thank Moshe Abramson for this, because Moshe was the one actually who found us this particular diagram. So if you look right in the middle of the picture, you will find, again, there's a section that's titled Lamed Aleph. That's numbered Lamed Aleph. And it's called Lishkas HaParva. So you can see exactly where it is. It's a little bit, it's already into the Kodesh, it's outside of the Azara. And you'll see that right on top there's a mikvah. So this is where we are taking the Kohen Gadol at this particular point in time. So it was in the Kodesh. Parso Sadino Shelbutz. They would go ahead and they would suspend a curtain of linen in between the Kohen and the people. And we'll discuss why. Actually, we already discussed why in a previous sugya, why dafka it was linen. And what happens? Kidesh Yadav Viraglov. He would sanctify his hands and feet. Uposhat. And then he would take off his clothing. Rabbi Meir says, no. Poshat, the Kidesh Yadav Viraglov. So we had this machlokis earlier between the Rabbanon and Rabbi Meir as to the correct order of the avoda of the day. So here, Rabbi Meir says, in fact, he would first go ahead and take off his clothing, and then only afterwards would do Kiddush Dain Viraglayim. Yorad the Taval, he would go into the mikvah. He would literally descend and go into the mikvah. Allah, he would come out, then istapeg, and he would dry off. Heviulo Big Day Lavan, they would bring him his white clothing that was used specifically for the Yom Kippur Avodah. And what happened? The Kiddush Dain Viraglov, and he would go in and sanctify his hands and feet again. B'shachar hayolobish blusin shloshnei masar mana. In the morning, he would wear linen clothing. It's literally Pelusian linen. This was a type of linen that was worth 12 mana. Bein arbayim in the afternoon, Hinduyin. He would wear literally Hinduyin linen. Now, what's Hinduyin? Rashi points out it could be one of either two things. It could either be Kush. Now, Kush could be one of two things. Kush could be Ethiopia, or Kush could be India. Could be India. Hinduian certainly sounds a little bit more like Hindu, like it does the Ethiopia. But either way, these are very expensive and exquisite types of linen. And this was worth 12 mana. This was worth shmona mea zuz. This was worth 800 zuz. And I both said, now what's 800 zuz? 800 zuz is the equivalent of 8 mana. There are 1 mana equals 100 zuz. So the morning one, according to first being in the Mishnah, the morning one was worth 12 zuz, the afternoon one was worth 8 zuz. Div Rabbi Meir, these words are Rabbi Meir. The Chachamim say, V'shachar hayalobeish shal shmona asar mana. So the Chachamim say, in the morning he would wear linen that was worth 18 mana, ubein ha'arbayim shal shnei masar mana. And in the afternoon he would wear clothing worth 12 mana. Hakol, altogether, shloshim mana. Altogether, the value of the clothing that the Kohen Gadol wore was 30 mana. So the Gemara says, Elu Mishel Tzibur. So remember, here's what's interesting. Now we have machlokis in terms of how much the actual value was. But here's what's clear is whatever these enumerated amounts, these came from community funds, right? This is the Kohen Gadol's work clothing. So the Maisa, again, the community pays for his clothing. However, the Imratza Lahosif, Mosif Mishalo. Now, if the Kohen Gadol wants to go ahead and purchase more expensive clothing, or he wants to get finer linen, that prerogative is certainly his, but he has to pay for it from his own pocket. Right? Says the Gemara, top of Lamed Hey. My Parva. Now, I will say, the Mishnah said that the Kohen Gadol was taken to the base Parva. Again, just because I want to use the picture again. So for those who came in a little bit later, we're looking, the base Parva is, again, if you look on the top of the diagram over here, right in the middle of that wall, that line, you'll see a word that says Soreg. If you go right down from Soreg, you'll see a section that's numbered Lamid Aleph, and right there, Lishkas HaParva. Lishkas HaParva. So that's the Parva chamber, and that's ultimately where the Kohen Gadol is being taken. That's different, by the way, than the way the Masechta began. If you go straight down from Lishkas HaParva, go down, remember, Lishkas HaParva is in the south, go down towards the north, past the Beis HaMikdashim, which was the area where they slaughtered the animals, make a little bit of a right, and you'll get to what? Lishkas Palhedrin. That's Chofres. That was the chamber that we spoke about again in the beginning of the Masechta. That's where the Kohen Gadol actually stayed during his 7 days of separation sequestration. Okay, so back to the Gemara. Says the Gemara, my Parva, why do they call it the Parva chamber? I'm Rav Yosef, it's quite interesting. I'm Rav Yosef, Parva Amagusha, because of Parva the Amagusha. Now, what does that mean? I'm Rav Yosef, Rashi. Parva Amagusha, Mechashef Echad Bana'a, Ushmo Parva. Apparently, there was this guy named Parva, and he was a sorcerer. Now, he must have been a Baal Tshuva, right? I'm saying he wasn't, because sorcery is Asr Midaraisa. But again, he must have at one point in time been a sorcerer, and he built this chamber. So they called it the Beis HaParva. Tosus, if you look down a little bit, has a little bit of a different approach. He says, it's actually very interesting. He says, Parva Amagusha. He says, Perish Ba'aruch V'zelashono, Yesh Mina Chachamim Sho'omrim, Ki Chafar Mechila Tachas HaKarka B'Kodesh, Ad Shiyira Avodas Kohen Gadol, V'hergisho HaKohanim B'Chafira, U'matsu V'kara Osa HaLishka Ashmo. So listen to this. Others say, he was a guy who tunneled under the Harabayis to be able to dig up to the Beis HaMikdash, to be able to see what the Kohen Gadol did on Yom Kippur. Now, obviously, when they found out about this, they shut down this little, you know, subterranean exploration. But they marveled at the guy's desire to go ahead and see the Yom Kippur Avodah, so they named this chamber after. Okay, so whether it's according to Rashi that he actually helped in building this chamber, or according to Tosus, he was just a very inquisitive, guy who wanted to see the Yom Kippur Avodah. Either way, they named it the Parva chamber. Okay, Parsu Sadin Shalbutz, they spread out. They spread out a sheet of linen when the Kohen Gadol came out of the mikvah. Maishno shalbutz. Why does it have to be of linen? Because it was what the Gemara is essentially asking is, obviously, the whole idea of this sheet is what? Is tznius. It's for the Kohen Gadol's modesty. So if it's for the Kohen Gadol's modesty, so who cares what it's actually made up of? And I've also, by the way, you can also see, I mean, I don't really have to this, but I want to go back to it again. If you look over here also, you can see, by the way, based on where this mikveh is situated, you can see that because of its proximity to what we call the Ezras Nashim, so you could easily have people that would gather to see the Kohen. Right? Meaning there would be easily be people around, because again, people could really come. You see that area marked Ezras Yisrael? Right? Again, you know where the Lishkas Parhedrin now is by Lamed Gimel? Go down a little bit. So you see about, say, you see these three, this little line over here that goes down like this. What's that called? You know this? That's the Duchen, right? That's where the Levim stood for the Shira. That Duchen is like a line of demarcation between what we call Ezras Yisrael and Ezras Kohanim. Pretty much past the Duchen, people could still go because you could still slaughter your animals over here. But that was already a line of demarcation. So Ezras Yisrael was still a gathering place. So you could see when the coin came out of the mikvah, people were definitely gathered to go ahead and see everything that was happening on Yom Kippur. So you needed that sheet for modesty purposes. So the Gemara says, okay, if you need the sheet, I understand, but why does it have to be? Why does it have to be of linen? Rav Kahana, Kadeshiyakir Shavalas Yom Big Day Lavan. It's a reminder to the Kohen Gadol that what? That the primary avoda of the day will be done with linen clothing. Kibishachar Hayalovish Plus and Shoshmor Asr. So we'll say, if you remember again, the Mishnah quoted two different opinions. Rabbi Meir was of the opinion that in the morning the Kohen Gadol used Pelusian linen worth 12 mana, and in the afternoon he went ahead and used Ethiopian or Indian linen worth 8 mana. That was Rabbi Meir, right? 800 zuz, which was 8 mana. The Chachamim say that in the morning he used clothing worth 18 mana, and in the afternoon it was worth 12 mana, for a total of 30 mana. So the Gemara asks, Vitana minyana asalash mainan, is it really necessary for the Chachamim to tell me that 18 plus 12 equals 30? Then you're about to say, again, just tell me he wore 18 in the morning, he wore 12 in the afternoon, and I'll use my higher order math skills to understand that that equals a total of 30 mana. Why does the Mishnah have to say that? So the Gemara says, oh, Hakamash Malan, the Betzir Mehani Lo Navid. You know what that teaches me? That teaches me that the value of the clothing used by the Kohen on Yom Kippur cannot be less than 30 mana. What the Mishnah is trying to give me is a total, that a minimum that must be spent. Ha, I Betzir Mehani, Utefe Ahani, Les Lanba. But also, what does the Gemara say? You see, the Chachamim said that the morning is 18 and the afternoon is 12. But if you want to vary those amounts, that's fine. As long as what? As long as the sum total of the amount spent on the clothing is 30 mana, with one caveat. However, to Kuli Alma, Mihas de Shachar Adifi. However, everyone agrees that the morning clothing must be more expensive than the afternoon clothing. So also, however you want to vary the amount, the Chum said 18, 12, but you can mix up those amounts as much as you want, as long as the total comes to 30, and as long as what? The morning clothing is more expensive than the afternoon clothing. So Gemara says, Minalan, where do we know that from? Amar Afun Brid Ravi Loi Amar Amar Kra. Bad, 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 bad. Okay, so I'll say, so what does that mean? It's pretty clear. So what does that mean? So the Gemara says that bad, 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 bad. The Torah uses the word linen 4 times in the context of describing the morning avoda. So therefore, the Gemara learns out from that. Mufchar bebad. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Bad, bad. Arba'a zimni ksiv b'levishas bigdei shachris. L'neimar dahavu bad, bad, hamufchar bebad. So I will say, the Gemara understands that the constant repetition of the word bad indicates that you should not just use any linen clothing, but rather you should make sure to use of the choicest linen clothing that one could possibly attain. So the Gemara says, "Vayta Amud Beis Meisvei Meisvei." So the Gemara quotes the pasuk that says, "V'lov shu begodim achirim." V'lo is actually the Gemara is quoting over here from the pasuk.
It's coming off.
It's going off.
Yeah, it will go.
Okay. I just give the shear. I don't know what that is. So the Gemara says the following. Quotes over here from the Pasuk from Yechezkel. The love shoot begodim achirim is actually from the, if you have the Torah or in your Gemara that quotes the Psukim, you can see he's actually quoting from the end of the Pasuk. The love shoot begodim achirim, they will wear other clothing. Velo yikatshu asa'ab bevigdehem, and they will not sanctify the people in their clothing. So what is this referring to? So we'll say, look, so velo shu begodim achirim, velo yikatshu asa'ab bevigdehem. So we'll say, take a look. You see the Rashi, it's the first Rashi, but we don't have to look at the top. Look at where Rashi's gets narrow, almost right across from the Gemara. So Rashi says, velo shu begodim achirim. What does it mean they will wear other clothing? So we'll say, the Gemara assumes that this Pasuk in Yechezkel is referring to the Avoda of Yom Kippur. So what does this phrase mean that they will wear other clothing? So the Gemara understands the Pasuk is referring to is, they'll wear other clothing. What is this referring to? The Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim twice over the course of Yom Kippur. Once to go ahead and bring in the Ketores and the coals, and then he leaves it in there, because remember, the Ketores has to burn, and he's not going to wait while the Ketores burns. And then he comes back a second time to go ahead and retrieve the fire pan and the ladle from inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So now what the Gemara is suggesting, according to the Pasuk in Yechezkel, is that when he goes back inside to retrieve the fire pan and the ladle, he must change into another set of linen clothing. So here's what's amazing. If you look in the Torah, There is no explicit mention of this idea that the Kohen Gadol goes back in to go ahead and retrieve the fire pan and the ladle. We know that the Kohen Gadol, so again, it's halacha l'moshe misinai. What Yechezkel was saying, Yechezkel was articulating the halacha l'moshe misinai. So what the pasuk means is he'll go back into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and when he does, the love shu begadim achim, he has to put on another set of linen clothing. V'lo yikadras am bevigdeyem. Now this phrase Rashi explains means, and when they're finished with the avoda and they mingle with the people, they should not be wearing their linen clothing, but they should have changed back into their regular clothing. So the Gemara says, my love achirim chashuv in mehen. The Rabbah said, the Gemara says that when he goes back into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he wears another set of linen clothing. Doesn't another mean even more important than the morning? To which the Gemara says, lo, achirim pechusim mehen. No, actually, the word other doesn't actually have any connotation. The word other could just as easily mean he wears clothing of lesser value. Tani, which Rabbah says is the way that the Gemara ultimately ends off, which is that, again, you could go and remember what the halacha is, the value of the linen clothing has to be at least 30 mana, and that's, remember, 30 mana from the Beis HaMikdash coffers. If the Kohen Gadol wants to add on to that, that's fine. And morning clothing must be more expensive than afternoon clothing. Tani Rav Huna Bar Yehuda V'Amri Dei Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda Achar Shekol Sa'avodas Tzibur Kohen Sha'asa Salo Imo Kisones Lovsha V'Ovid Bo Avodas Yachid. This is very interesting. As soon as the avoda of the tzibur, communal avoda, has ended, if a Kohen has a mother who made him, and also we actually had this earlier, that very often when Kohanim became Kohanim Gidolim, their mothers would make them replicas of the Big Day Kahuna. Of the Big Day Kahuna. So the Gemara says that when a Kohen finishes his avoda tzibur, his communal service, if he wants to go ahead and put on the clothing that his mother made him, and go ahead and do avodas yachid. Now, what's an example of avodas yachid? Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Hotsa'as kaf umachto. It's actually very interesting. An example of avodas yachid would be the removal of the ladle and the fire pan from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Why is that called avodas yachid? She'ina tzricha litzibur. It's very interesting. Avodas tzibur is any service that's necessary for atonement. Yet, interestingly enough, this is amazing. The Gemara calls going back into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and retrieving the ladle and the fire pan his own personal avoda. Because what is that? Kohen Gadol, you have to clean up after yourself, right? You left your stuff out. Now you have to come back and collect yourself. That's called avodas yachid. So the Gemara now is suggesting over here is that if the Kohen happens to have, now this is, of course, a big day lavan. Let's say his mother made him a beautiful set of big day lavan. He is permitted to go ahead and wear that clothing, to go ahead and retrieve, let's say, the ladle and the fire pan from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. However, one very important caveat, that although his mother may have made the clothing, he could only use it if what? He could only use it if Lamaisa, his mother or he, actively donated it to the Beis HaMikdash. Because remember, anytime a Kohen does Avoda, he can only do Avoda in clothing that's owned by the Tzibur. If it's owned by him personally, he can't do Avoda. So his mother can make it. His mother can make it, but it has to be given over to the Tzibur. So the Gemara says Pshita, so that's obvious. So what's the chiddush? Look at Rashi, Pshita, David ba, kevan da amrit mosel at tzibur, the tzibur he. He'll say, obviously, if you go ahead, if his mother made him clothing, and then it's donated to the tzibur, that's communal clothing. It's no different than the clothing we've been discussing until now, which of course the Kohen could do the avoda in. To which the Gemara says, ma'al detema, what would I have said? Nechosh shema lo yim serena, yofe yofe. I might have thought that what? That maybe he will not give it over, or his mother will not give it over to the Beis HaMikdash with a complete heart. Being able to say, you know, again, if you could only imagine the craftsmanship and handiwork that must have gone in for this mother to make her son this big day kahuna, so maybe you could assume maybe it's not so posh that a person is going to give it over with a whole heart. And if you don't give it over with a whole heart, what's the problem? The problem is it doesn't really belong to the tzibur, and therefore maybe we shouldn't allow it to be used. Kamash malon though. Kamasha that we assume when a person gives it over, they mean to give it over with a complete heart. Amru alav al Rabbi Gish. Listen to this, Rabbi Osai. Amru alav. So I just give you also 2 minutes. If you know someone who is not here today for the shir, you should text them to come because they're about to miss magnificent, magnificent Gemara. Get on the phones. Like life alter. This is not like an exaggeration. Life altering Gemara. So it's a dinim yehaf lecha kamocha. I don't know where else people could be except for this Gemara now, but maybe Meis Mitzvah or something, I'm not sure. Says the Gemara, listen to this. Amar Alav Rabbi Shmuel ben Pavi. They said to Rabbi Shmuel ben Pavi the following. She'asas salo imo kisones shalmeya mana. His mother made him a tunic, big day kahuna, of 100 mana. So we'll say obviously exceptionally expensive. Velovsha va'oved ba'avodas yochid. And what happened? He would wear it for avodas yochid. Umasra letzibor, and he gave it over to the tzibor. So also the Gemara is just over here bringing an anecdote of somewhere this actually happened. So here his mother made him clothing, and he, because he gave it over to the tzibor, he was able to use it. Listen to this. Amar Alav Rabbi Elazar ben Charsom, she'asa sala ima kiskimo kisones mishte rivo. Also listen to this. Rabbi Elazar ben Charsom, his mother made him a linen tunic for his avoda that was worth 20,000 mana. 20, we'll discuss Elazar ben Charsom in just a moment. Listen to this. But his fellow Kohanim wouldn't let him wear it. Why not? Because Rabosai apparently literally means because he looked naked. What does that mean? The linen was so fine that it was partially sheer. So because of that, they would not let him do the avoda in this tunic. So the Gemara says, "Umi mischazi, is that possible?" V'ha amar mar chutan kafel shisha. Rabbi said, the way that the tunics are made is they're made of six-fold thread. So if something is made of such thick material, how could it possibly be transparent? Listen to this. Amar Abaye kichamra b'mazga. So Abaye is a very interesting mashal. He says, you know what it's like? It's like wine in a glass. I will say, if you have a glass that's very thick, right? So no matter how thick the glass is, you can still what? You can still see the wine through it. So Lamais again says, the Gemara, no matter how this linen was so fine, that no matter how thick it was, it was still partially sheer. So they wouldn't let him do the avoda in it. All right, I will say, so now we get to just exceptional Gemara. Tan Rabbanan. Ani va'ashir. Ani va'ashir va'rasha ba'in ledin. Really beautiful. So what happens? After 120, a pauper, a rich man, and a rush, it's not a joke, right? A pauper, a rich man, and a rasha come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu for judgment. Come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu for judgment. What happens? La'ani omrim lo, mipnei malo asakta b'torah. So the HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked the pauper, poor man, why did you not engage in the study of Torah? Im omer, if he says, ani hayisi, so the Ani will say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, listen, what he wants from me? I was poor. I was poor, and because I was poor, I spent my life trying to ameliorate my suffering, trying to take care of my difficult circumstance. Omrim lo, klum ani hayisa yosra mehilal. Were you any poorer than Hillel? Then I will say, what happened to that? You have to understand the backdrop to this also. Hillel was from Bavel. And Hillel came from a very wealthy family. Hillel decided that he wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael because he wanted to learn from Shmaya Naftalion, who were the leaders of the Jewish people, and essentially his family cut him off. Can you imagine? That's Hillel. His family cut him off. If you want to go to Eretz Yisrael, wonderful. Go on your own steam. Okay, so now the Gemara picks up. Amru alav al Hillel azakim shebechol yom vayom haya oseh umistakeh betrapik. Every single day, Hillel had to work, probably as some kind of laborer or merchant. And what happened? He was able to generate a trapik. It's in a certain amount of money of income. And it was just enough that he needed for the day. Half of the trapik, I will say, apparently there were times where they would charge money to come into the base medrash. Again, the truth is, it's just a way of tuition, right? So half of the traffic he would use to pay for entrance into the Beis Medrash, the chetziyav leparnasaso uleparnasas anshe beiso, and the other half traffic he used to support his family. Pamachos lo matzah lehistakir, velo hinichu shomer Beis Medrash leikanes alah. So what happens? One time, business was not good. He couldn't even make the basic traffic, and so he couldn't get into the Beis Medrash. So what did he do? Allah v'nitla v'yashav api aruba. He went up to the roof of the Beis Medrash. Aruba is like the skylight. He sat by the skylight. In order that what? That he should hear the words of the living God from Shmaya and Avtalion. Now, I'll just say something amazing. You know, you wonder, why does someone go to such lengths to go and learn Torah? Look what the Gemara says. Why did he go? It doesn't just say he went to learn Torah. He went to learn Divrei Elokim Chaim. If you believe that Torah is the word of God, if you believe that every single time you learn Torah, like the Ribono Shel Olam is speaking to you, then yes, of course, you will do anything and everything to be part of that process. So what happens? We'll say, and listen to how auspicious this is. Amru hayo amru osa hayom erev Shabbos haya utekufas teves haisa. I will say, when did this happen? This happened on an Erev Shabbos in Teves.
Wow.
And I will say, by the way, just you want to make it a little bit, right, what's happening in Eretz Yisrael now? It's snowing. It's snowing in Eretz Yisrael now. Just, it's amazing. So if you could imagine for just a moment, it's a day like this, 20 degrees in Teves and Erev Shabbos. It's amazing. And what happens? V'yarad alav sheleg mina shomayim. And what happens? Well, so Hillel is sitting there on top of the skylight, listening in, and the snow is falling down on him. Kisha'ala amud ha'shachar, avano Shmaya l'Avtalion. Morning came, and Shmaya said to his brother Avtalion, Avtalion achi, b'chol yom habayis meir, v'hayom ofel. So he says something strange. The skylight is obviously there to allow light in. Every single day the light comes in, and today it's dark. What happens? Shema yom hama'unanu. Maybe it's a cloudy day. So what happened? Hitzitzu enei, and they looked upwards. V'ra'u demus adam ba'aruba. They looked upwards, and what did they see? They saw a human form over the skylight. What happened? Demus adam ba'aruba. Alu, they went up to the roof. Matsu alav rum shalosh amos shelek. They went up, and what did they find? Now, here's a little bit of hyperbole. So they found three amas of snow. I will say, three amas, if an amas is a foot and a half, that's a lot of snow. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if over the existence of Eretz Yisrael from the beginning of time, is there been, so the point is, I think we're making a little bit of hyperbole over here, that Lemaisa, again, it was a lot of snow on top of him. Parkuhu, they literally extracted him. Herchitzu, they washed him with hot water. Sihuhu, they rubbed him with oil. Vahoshivuhu, kineget hamadura, and they set him opposite the fire. And they said, Amru, ra'ui zeh, lechalel alav es ha-shabbos. A person like this is a person you mechal Shabbos for. And I will say, obviously, the halacha is you mechal Shabbos for everybody. That's for any Jew, for any person. That's not, but what they were saying is, what a quality of a neshama. That somebody would feel so connected to Divrei Elokim Chaim that they're ascending the rooftop and they're going in it. Amazing. So therefore, after 120, if a person thinks they're going to use the poverty excuse, the parnasa excuse, mm-hmm. as to why I didn't learn Torah, Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to say, Hillel, why don't you come here and explain to them why poverty is not an excuse? Next, Shmuel, you're just in time. Listen to this. It says the Gemara, Ashir, what happens? A rich person. So remember now, the rich person comes before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says what? Omrim lo, mipnei ma lo asak da b'Torah. So they say to the rich person, right? Nu, why didn't you learn Torah? And what will he say? Im omer, asher ha'yisi, v'torot ha'yisi b'nechasai. So what does the rich person say? Lamed hei amud beins, about 6 lines into the wide lines. And he says what? He says, listen, I was busy, right? I was managing my financial empire. What happens? Omrim lo, Klum Ashir Hayisa Yoser May Rabbi Elazar. So this is Rabbi Elazar ben Charsom. So Elazar ben Charsom, who we just read about before, who remember again, his mother made him the tunic made of 20,000 mana. So were you any richer than Rabbi Elazar ben Charsom? So listen to this. Amru Alav Rabbi Elazar ben Charsom. Sheniach lo aviv elef ayaros biyabasha. Ukinegdan elef svinos bayam. Rabbi Elazar ben Charsom's father, when he died, left his son Rabbi Elazar ben Charsom with 1,000 cities, meaning that he was like the like a feudal lord over 1,000 cities, and he left him 1,000 ships at sea. Ubechol yom vayom, notel note shal kemach haksefo, umahalech meir leir, umemedina lemedina vilma Torah. So apparently, what did Rabbi Elazar ben Charsom do? He allowed someone else to go ahead and manage his fortune. And what would he do? He would set out every day with a little note. Note means like a jug of flour just to take care of his daily needs. And he would go from city to city and from country to country learning Torah. Pam achas, listen to this. Pam achas matzauhu avadav va'asu bo angaria. So we'll say one time what happened. One time it happens to be that he went to one of the cities over which he really owned. And what happens, Rabbi? Now, there's a halacha that says that when you live in a city under this type of feudal system, so like the lord of the city has the right to demand certain services of the residents. So what happens? He's in one of these cities, and the people who work for him assume that he was one of the residents, and therefore pressed him into doing certain services for the city. Amar Lahem, he said to these guys, "Bevakasha mikem, henichuni ve'ilech lilmo Torah." Right? He said, "Please, just let me go learn Torah." So what did the serve? What did the people working in the city say? Amar lo, chaye Rebbe Elazar ben Charsum, she'enon manich in osach. Right? By the life of Rebbe Elazar ben Charsum, we're not going to let you go. You have to work. Umiyamav lo halach v'ra osan. Amazing. So what do you see from here? They never even met Rabbi Elazar ben Charsum. So these people who were working for him never even met him, never even knew him. Why, says the Gemara? Because he spent his days learning Torah. The idea, it says the Gemara, is after 120, if a person thinks that they're going to use their wealth as an excuse for why they did not accomplish, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to summon Rabbi Elazar ben Charsum and say he could be fabulously wealthy, but there's still time to learn. The Gemara goes weiter. Russia. So what does the Russia say? And I will say, here's what's interesting. They say to the Russia, Mipnei ma, Russia omrim lo. So after 120, they say to the Russia, Mipnei ma lo asakta v'Torah. So they say to the Russia, Russia, nu, why didn't you learn Torah? So im amar na hayisi. If he says, well, listen, I was very handsome, v'tarud b'yitzri, and I was very involved with satisfying my desires. Meaning what the Rosh says, Kodesh Baruch Hu, listen, you made me this beautiful. You made me this attractive. And because of that, again, I was tempted and enticed in many ways. And, you know, I'm a human being. I fell prey to my desires. Listen to this. Omrim lo. Also, it's amazing. In Yonet Yoma. Klum na'a hayisa me Yosef. Were you any more handsome than Yosef? Amru alav al Yosef atzadik. Mostly listen to this. They said al Yosef atzadik. B'chol yom bayom, haisa eshes potifar mishadalto bidvarim. Every single day, the wife of Potifar would try to seduce Yosef with words. Furthermore, bigadim shalav shalo shachris, lo lav shalo arvis. She used to change her clothing frequently to get his attention. The clothing she wore in the morning, she would not wear in the evening. Begadim shalav shalo arvis, lo lav shalo shachris. Clothing she wore in the evening, she would not wear in the morning. Amra lo, she said to him, Keshame'ali, listen to me. Meaning sleep with me. Amra lo, he said to her, Lav, he said no. Amra lo, hareni chov shavtecha b'veis ha'asurin. I will make sure that you're imprisoned. If you don't listen to me, if you don't succumb to my desires, I will go ahead and imprison you. Amar la, Hashem matir asurim. Yosef responded, it's okay, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu frees those who are incarcerated. Hareini kol fefes kol masecha. I will go ahead and take away your stature. She said, no problem. Hashem zokev kifufim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu straightens those who are bent. Hareini misame eseinecha. She threatened to blind him. He said, no problem. Well, not no problem, but Hashem pokeach ivrim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who gives sight to the blind. Nasna lo elef kikari kesev lishmoa eleha lishkov etzla lihios ima. She offered him 1,000 pieces of silver in order to literally lay with, to listen to her, to lay with her and to be with her. Velo uratza lishmoa eleha lishkov etzla ba'olam hazeh. And he did not want to listen to her. I will say, what's interesting, what the Gemara is pointing out over here is, the Pasuk says that he did not listen to her. Lishkovetzla lihios etzma, lihios ima, literally to sleep next to her and to be with her. So the Gemara says this refers to two different things. Lishkovetzla, to sleep with her, to sleep next to her, but olam hazeh, that refers to being with her in this world. Lihios ima, to be with her, li olam haba, in the world to come. Also, what the Gemara's understanding is the following. We'll say, first of all, just if you understand the extent of this nisayon, that he is tempted, he is actively trying to be seduced by this woman, day in and day out. Remember, compound that by the fact that he is alone. He has no family, right? The truth is, this woman could open many doors to him. This woman could give him incredible wealth. This woman could ultimately give him incredible security. Granted, she's someone else's wife. But to deal with this challenge each and every day is absolutely overwhelming. So what was it? So what was it that allowed Yosef to overcome this? So what the Gemara is suggesting over here is because Yosef understood that the commission of this sin in this world, the lishko of etzla in this world, would ultimately mat result in lios ima bi olam haba. Yosef understood that the decisions that he would make now would leave a lasting impact, not just on his life in this world, but it would ultimately pave the way for what this Olam Haba was going to be as well. So therefore, again, if the Rasha comes forward and says, well, I was too involved with my Yetzirah, and God, it's your fault, you made me so beautiful, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Yosef, you know what, why don't you come and tell them that it's possible to live life as a very handsome man, to be constantly petitioned for immoral things, and yet what? A proposition for moral things, and yet still find the moral strength to be able to refuse. Therefore, the Gemara ends off by saying, Reb Rabbo says a very important line. Therefore, Nimtza, Hillel mechayiv es ha'aniyim. Therefore, Hillel obligates the poor. Which means Rabbo say that no matter what your financial circumstances are, no matter how difficult one may have with Parnasa, one is still obligated to grow into a spiritual being. Reb Elazar ben Charsum mechayiv es ha'ashirim. Reb Elazar ben Charsum is mechayiv, obligates the rich, no matter how many financial responsibilities you have, because Baruch Hashem, you're much hatzlacha, you still have to learn. And Yosef mechayiv es harishoim. And Yosef literally obligates the wicked. That no matter how frail you think you are, or how much you know you feel that you can't control your yetzer, Yosef teaches us that indeed you can. All right, well, so let's begin the Mishnah for just a moment. It says the Mishnah, Balo eitzal paro, uparo haya omid bena ulam lamizbeach. Now the Kohen is coming. Now remember, we're moving forward in the Yom Kippur Avodah. So the Kohen Gadol comes to his par, to his ox, and what happens? And the par, the cow, was haya omid bena ulam lamizbeach, was standing in between the ulam and the mizbeach. We'll say, so again, you can see on your picture over here, you can see exactly where this is, right? Because again, here is the ulam. This is the ulam over here, the top of the T of the Kodesh, and here's the mizbeach. So again, so this animal we'll see was going to be somewhere right over here, in between the mizbeach and the ulam. So says the Gemara, Paro eitz al paro, paro bina ulam mizbeach. Rosh al adarom. The animal was facing south. Upanav lemarav. So it was facing south, but it had its head turned towards the west. We'll see why this is. Va'koin omid b'mizrach. The coin was standing in the east. Upanav lemara, but he was facing towards the west. V'somech shteyadav alav, and he would go ahead and place his two hands on the animal. U'misvaden, he would recite vidui. V'kach hayu omer, this would be his confession. Ana Hashem, please Hashem, avisi pashati chatasi lefanecha. Ani uvesi. So we'll say these refer to three different types of sins. Avisi, an avon, ultimately is like an intentional or willful sin. Pesha is a rebellious sin. And chatos usually means like a shogeg, like an inadvertent sin. So I've committed all different types of averos. Ani ubesi, both myself and my household. Ana Hashem, please Hashem, kaperna, atone for us, la'avonos, la'pshoim, v'lechatoim, for the willful sins, for the rebellious sins, for the accidental sins. Shavisi v'shapashati v'shechatasi lefanecha, ani ubesi, kakasuv besoras Moshe avdecho, as it says in the Torah of Moshe, your servant, ki bayom hazeh yechap, the rest of the passage says, ki bayom hazeh, because on this day Hashem will atone for you to purify you from all of your sins before Hashem become purified. Vehein onin achrav, and everyone who was there to listen to this vidui would respond Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuso Biolam Voed. As we will see, this was often the response of the Beis HaMikdash. They didn't say Amen in the Beis HaMikdash. Instead, what they said was Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuso Le'olam Vo'ed. The name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the name of God's glory in His kingdom should be extolled forever. The Bosse will stop over here. We say Chatasi because what we do is we go from the order of least severe to most severe. We'll see why in the Mishnah they went from most severe to least severe. I will say tomorrow morning, a little bit of a different schedule. Tomorrow morning, the daf is at 8:15. Rabbi Banzer is giving the daf tomorrow morning. No, pretty much we've used up all of the excuses. Yep. Okay.